This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, just announced a big show in Central Park on the Summer Stage, part of the Summer Stage series, called David Cross and Super Pals. That's going to be August 8th. It's going to be amazing. Got all kinds of really cool special guests. I know we got Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Silverman, Sean Patton, Fred Armisen, many, many, many more. Go to officialdavidcross.com. That'll have all the information for that. And the pre-sale, it just went out, and the pre-sale code is FUNFUN. I believe it's all caps. FUNFUN. David Cross and Super Pals. August 8th, Central Park. Come down.
You have your choice of which seat. Totally up to you. What's your opinion? Well, you don't have. I mean, that's an easy.
I'll do this.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. How long are you here?
Just for the week. Just doing a bunch of these. You know, I have a podcast now.
That's what I'm here to do, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a...
Just a social visit?
I thought it was a coincidence. I thought you stopped in to get out of the rain. All right, well...
I've been stopping at every business along the street.
Oh, would you like some... Sorry, I didn't even know these were...
Here.
Okay.
So you're here for a whole week and just to do the show?
I'm here for Monday through Friday doing... knocking a bunch of these out here and... And then doing some other people's podcasts to promote the special, which is coming out. All right. Phones on funny noise.
Wednesday afternoon to do my show?
I'll tell you right now. I don't think so. It's a pretty packed schedule, but I'll tell you. Wednesday to... I could do later. Later. I'm doing two back to back. Two might be pushing it.
Okay. We just have a real New York show with Todd Barry, Griffin Newman, Connor Ratliff.
I don't know who any of those people are. Okay. Oh, well, let's get you set up there.
Oh, I don't want to talk into one of those.
What brand mic do you... We had reached out to ask you about that. We didn't hear back, so we just went with that one.
Yeah, I think this is okay. I mean, this is what, a Shure or...
This is...
Shure. There it is. SM7Bs. Yeah.
No, they kind of cornered the market on this stuff.
I know.
Is this going to be a good position?
Position.
Hey, you know what? I was walking over here, and I was mm-hmm. I was like, hey, man, are you still a big 21 Pilots fan?
I mean, what do you consider a big fan to be of 21
well,
Pilots?
Back, you're the one who introduced me to them, and I know you had been doing a lot of stuff in Vegas
behind the
with
scenes.
Them.
Yeah,
behind
I was like part of the street team.
Yeah, yeah.
Part I mean, of the I was
show in Vegas, like the thing, yeah. the dangling off the not dang, you know the. Ribbons or whatever.
Exactly. The ribbons attached to the like Zeppelins.
Yeah, yeah,
essentially.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I was a huge fan of like 17 of the Pilots. Honestly, four of them were not my cup of tea. But when you get in with
Hang
the 21 Pilots,
hang on. What? 21.
You do the math.
I did it.
Yeah, you did it.
Okay, so four are not good.
Let's be honest. Four of them just absolutely stink at the whole piloting. Disregard the music.
Okay.
Like, just at the basic piloting, they're bad.
Right.
And so, you know, but you take the bad pilots with the good pilots when you're in the 21 Pilots crew,
you know?
So. So, I got really involved with them for...
Well, that's where the phrase comes from. You got to take the bad pilots with
the good pilots.
Oh,
when you're in with the pilot's crew.
I never put that together. Okay.
So I worked with them for not that long, maybe 9 years. And I just, you know, at a certain point, it gets to the point where you're like, I could be one of these pilots.
Yeah.
And you throw your hat in the ring, your pilot's cap in the ring, is the way they say it.
Where is the ring?
The Ring. I'm talking about the movie The Ring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you throw your hat at a copy of The Ring?
You throw your hat at a television set, hoping that the little girl will crawl out of it and grab the hat.
So The Ring has to be playing.
Yes,
got it.
But, you know, it just kind of, we parted company, and it was a bad scene after a while. You know, because I wanted to be one of the pilots. I wanted to be up there on stage flying the plane.
How did they take your... And what did you tell them, or your reason for that?
Right. I laid it all out there, and I was very honest with the guys, as honest as I could be, which is, you know, I was keeping a lot of stuff close to the vest.
Well, you lie sometimes. You'll lie occasionally.
Yeah, I'm notoriously just a huge, the technical term is fibber.
Mm-hmm.
But I laid it all out there, and they honestly were kind of like, oh, you've been working for us for 9 years? They had no idea I was part of the organization.
Oh, that.
So. Yeah.
Must have been awkward.
I had wondered because I had never received a paycheck.
Right.
But, you know, I'm...
Oh, this is before Zelle and Venmo and
PayPal
and all that stuff,
This is like
so
where...
So you have to receive...
It was Entertainment physical. Partners was in charge of everything. And
oh,
I was,
well, that... Come on, yeah. Scott. That's a little Hollywood talk for folks out
too
here.
Hollywood for... Yeah,
they're
I know you're New York now, so...
Yeah.
what is it in New York? What do they call Entertainment Partners out there?
23 Skidoo.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah. And... Now, I got to go back because this is
going to... Let's go backwards because I know that's recent.
Yeah. This is going to bug me. Mm. What if it's The Ring 2?
I mean, it's not... Is it the same little girl in The Ring 2? This is the issue. You want it to be the classic Ring girl who's like, you know, crawling right out of the television.
What,
you know?
You know what? I just thought of something. Mm. What about a mashup of the girl in The Ring crawling out of the television to the girl, dead now, but who was in Poltergeist, who's like, they're here.
Can we?
Or they're back.
Okay, honestly, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Can we erase this from the show? Because I want to work
We're not even taping yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I want to work on this with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, great. We're not taping yet.
No.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'm ready to go. Y'all are ready to go.
I thought this was all being taped.
No.
I thought you were doing it Chris Hardwick style, where you just start.
No. Did Chris Hardwick invent that?
Well, he would walk into, you'd be waiting for him for 10 minutes, and he would walk in 10 minutes late and then just sit down and just start talking to you. And the first 5 minutes, you assume is chit-chat. And then it comes out.
I think that's a smart idea. That's what I do. I'm going to turn over all the cards and reveal that, yes, that I do that. And I had Marin in here, in this very seat, and he's like, you know, I started that.
Really?
So
Mark Maron wants credit for something? This is unprecedented.
He also credited himself with the mics, I think. Was that right?
Yeah. Mics?
Not using mics. No, he
but
said
pointing
he invented
them at people's
the microphone.
Mouths.
No, he used a specific kind of
a
mic.
A specific one. Yeah, that's interesting. We use the, because my show started at a radio station, so
well, you invented the podcast. Let's be...
Conan O'Brien, let's be honest, invented the podcast.
Didn't know that. I thought it was Beth Lapidus. No? All right.
Remember Beth. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen her in a long time. Have you?
No, I live in New York.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Why did you ever move to New York? I meant to ask you that.
I think the better question is why did I ever move to L.A.?
Oh, right.
Yeah. My little quip is, but it's true. I moved to L.A., to make enough money to move away from L.A. and never look back. And I didn't, you know, I'm not a huge fan. And
what is it you don't like about L.A.?
I'll tell you, it's the things that people like and love about L.A., which I get, I understand, I have zero interest in. I don't care about the beach. Especially that beach. I love a good beach.
So you don't like the beach and you don't like the skiing, which you can do in one day while you live in California, which I've done.
I mean, I can do that in New York.
Really? So you go to, you surf in the morning and then you go skiing at night?
You could.
In New York?
I mean,
how many times have you done it?
Never. I have no interest in it.
I do it every day. Here.
Okay. Every day.
Every day.
You have a child. What?
My gas bill is enormous.
Well, you know, you gotta
pursue what you love, though.
But you're a pilot. You
That's
know?
Right.
Did you get your license?
No, I'm unlicensed, which is, it's hard when they try to pull you over. It's
in the air.
In the air, yeah.
What the? Wait.
They'll fly next to you and, like, roll the siren and be like.
And they do. They gesticulate with their fingers.
Yeah, they gesticulate, like, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. And where do you pull over
if
you're in a plane?
No, you just kind of move over to the side of the air. It's very.
Yeah, it makes. I don't
It doesn't
it.
Make any sense. Right. I don't know. Anyway, it's great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah.
You too. I've always had fun doing your podcast.
Yeah. And, although you just turned it down.
Well, that was because of scheduling.
Oh, because of scheduling.
Yeah.
Like, schedules can't be moved. Okay, I understand.
No, this schedule, I'm not going to call people who have had this in their books for weeks, if not a month at least, and go, hey, so I have an opportunity to do Scott Aukerman's podcast. Scott Aukerman, he does podcasts. He had a show, Comedy Bang Bang.
Mention IFC. Yeah. That's
now. Hang on a second. They're not under.
They don't know what IFC is?
No, they don't seem to.
Tell them it used to be the Independent Film Channel.
Then
they decided it wasn't going to stand for anything anymore. Mention Portlandia.
Portland, the city?
Seattle.
Oregon. Oregon. Not Maine.
Just
no.
United States.
United States of America? Black History Month?
Earth,
anyone?
Earth.
Earthlings?
Jeez. The Milky Way.
All right, forget it. I'm hanging up.
Oh!
Get this for those of you at home, Scott has knocked over one of these 60s mod Lucite whatever things here.
I feel like I am constantly knocking.
I got it.
Okay,
I can do it with my foot. I can do it myself. Move. I can.
Who are you, Christy Brown? Anyway,
sweet.
Good reference.
Yeah, he was using my left foot.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah.
Because he used to do it like metaphorically all the time. He'd be like, oh, look, my left foot. And then he'd like sign autographs. But
right.
But he'd like.
My left foot, Brown. Yep. You know what Bob did? Bob was over the other day and he and my daughter get along famously. And hey, you know, he's been around since she was, you know, just born. And so Uncle Bob was coming over, and then Marlo has her art table set up, and she was working on this. Her new thing is coral reefs. She's drawing it.
Hmm.
And Bob is really, as you might imagine, really good with little kids. And so he sat
Can
down.
Can I imagine that?
He is. He's
No, he
know,
is. He actually is, yes.
And he sat down, and she's like, do you want to do some drawing with me? He's like, sure. And did... Like, good, spent a half hour with drawing his own coral reef. And then I didn't see this until the next day, but he had signed it. Bob, Better Call Saul Odenkirk.
Great.
It's pretty good.
No, he's really good with kids. At what point, when they turn 12, is that when he starts to have a problem with everyone? Or?
Yeah, 12-ish.
Yeah. Around the bat mitzvah.
It's great because Erin lives in Brooklyn. And I've run into her at least three times, just randomly.
Really? Oh, you know? Great.
Last week, is she
going to NYU? Or
no, she's going to Pratt.
Oh, Pratt.
But she's graduated now.
The Chris Pratt. She's going to his house.
Chris Pratt U. You say that six times
Chris
in a row.
Chris Pratt U. That's how we used to warm up.
That's two times. I said six.
Can you stipulate I did it four more times? Or do I literally have to do it?
This is live.
Chris Pratt U. There.
So you're going to combine the two.
You can combine the two, yeah. I can't do it two more times.
Sounds good.
But we used to do that before Mr. Show, remember? We used to do...
Go to Chris Pratt's?
Yeah, go over to Chris Pratt's. This is before anyone knew who he was.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was.
No, neither of us did. We were like, why are we going to this asshole's house?
And he didn't live
house?
In L.A. yet.
No.
Yeah, it was weird.
He was a baby at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like, why are we going over to this baby's house? But we put in the time and now...
And now look at him. God bless him. And someone like Christian homeschooled him because he's gone that, taking a little turn that way.
Yeah, that was after our work. I mean, there was a little overlap.
Was there?
Okay. Yeah, there was like a 2-year overlap where we were Christian homeschooling him.
Oh, we sent him on a mission, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
we sent him to Uganda, somewhere in Uganda.
Yeah, we asked him just to get us donuts. Yeah. And he ended up in Uganda. It was just like crazy.
Yeah, there was a bit of a miscommunication.
Yeah. Do you remember when at Mr. Show, we were writing the Mr. Show movie and we were trying to figure out like what made a good comedy movie at the time? And so, and you had never seen like anything. And so,
you guys would mention the Sandler and the Schreier movies and the Spade movies. Like,
we were talking about Austin Powers and you were like, okay, I should just watch Austin Powers. So you sent our assistant out and you said, can you get me a DVD of Austin Powers? And then jokingly, as she walked out of the room, you were like, the Criterion Collection. She spent all day looking for that particular Criterion Collection.
I don't remember that.
She had seen like the regular edition in several stores, but she went store to store looking for it and then called in tears and was like, I can't find the Criterion Collection.
That's one of those things. It happened a lot for all of us where you would make some jokey offhand comment and it would ruin somebody's day because they didn't know you were joking.
Yes.
Yeah, that happened quite a bit.
Yeah. Fun stuff.
I watched about, I remember this too, it was Mark Rivers had moved here fairly recently, you know, at the time, and he was staying with three, one of them was crazy, they weren't all crazy, but just dumb girl roommates out in somewhere off Melrose.
How did he get hooked up with them? Was it?
I think just Craigslist, just looking for a place to crash, and one of them was fucking bonkers, and I think meth. I think she was doing meth, and she and
methamphetamine, amphetamines. Is that what they?
Methylatum. Methylatum rum.
Oh, right.
So way into that, just all over chest, and, you know, and all that
smelly.
Kind of stuff. And they were watching, none of this matters. I just was over there. We were going to go out and he wasn't quite ready. So they were watching Austin Powers and I watched about 20 minutes of it. And I was like, this is awful. I mean, I know it irritates people, but I don't like those movies. Kind of movies.
As a member of the franchise, I take umbrage with that. As well, you know, I'm part of the Austin Powers family. I was in number 3. And
the Austin Powers universe?
Yes, the Austin Powerverse. The Reston Powerverse. I was a young Michael Caine.
Were you?
Yes.
Is this legit?
This is true. This is legit. Yes. So I did my audition where I worked up a Michael Caine like impression. Which was okay. I couldn't really replicate it now, but it's something like, hello, I'm Michael Caine. And it was pretty good.
Well,
I'm a little rusty now, as you can see. But no, I worked it all up. I did, my hair was kind of long like his in the 60s. Months went by, got the role. And they said, well, you have to go meet Mike and Jay at the studio before they give it to you officially. Jay. Roach, the director.
Oh, okay. And so, Bob, did Bob give you an in on that? Because he knows.
No, people, no. It was purely just audition. So I went and.
Oh,
like,
I meant like, did he tell Michael?
No, they didn't. Mike, no.
Yeah.
So I went to the studio where they were rehearsing one of the scenes in number 3 where he's like crossing his legs or something. And I like watched it for a while.
That sounds hilarious. Wait, how did he cross his legs?
Well, it was like one over the other and then reverse. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So then,
stop. Pause. All right.
They also crossed their arms at a certain point, okay. Which was
I haven't seen the scene.
Oh, okay.
Or the movie,
but that's not as funny franchise. To you.
It sounds funny. There's a lot of potential, I think.
So I then chit chatted with them. They
a Fatal Attraction spoof? Remember that had the famous...
I think you're thinking of a different movie, but I.
No, what am I thinking of? The Sharon.
Sharon
Stone.
Basic Instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It was not. It was like a Charlie Chaplin-esque kind of like physical comedy bit.
Got it.
But so I met them. I I chit-chatted for maybe 20 minutes because they were big Mr. Show fans, which makes you feel like an asshole right now for making fun of them.
All.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
And so was talking to them about working on the show, and they were very interested. And then I thought that was going to be it, and I was ready to leave. And they were like, okay, well, let's do this. And they said, turn around. And I said, okay. And this is sort of like, in Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, where she wants to be a singer and she meets like one of the piano bar people and he's like, turn around, honey, let me see you. And she's like, I'm a singer and I'm not singing out of my ass. But so I turned around and they went, yeah, that's good.
What?
And I was
I can't
like,
tell if you're messing with
I'm
me.
I'm not. Okay. This is a real story. And I went, okay. They go, okay, you got it.
So they're and fucking with you.
No. So here's what happened. They had decided in between me auditioning and the few months for me getting the part that they were going to incorporate – anytime you saw him from the front, they were going to incorporate scenes from a 60s movie that Michael Caine was in. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to be him from the back. And so you see me like doing all the walking arounds and all that kind of stuff and you
okay
and then it cuts to close up of him all the time. So I never got to do my audition or my, voice or anything like that.
But. So it didn't matter. They didn't even need you to.
No, they could have got any random asshole. But Jay was very nice. He was like coming up to me during the shooting, asking me my opinion on the scene and what would you do? And, so it was a nice experience.
I don't know where that is in the.
Number three, it's
comes what year right. That was? Was it? Were you doing Comedy Bang Bang? I guess
no. This is 2001, maybe somewhere around there. Yeah, so it was just off of the Mr. Show, and then Run Ronnie Run, and somewhere in there.
I've learned to be much better about it than I
still was. Complimenting Run Ronnie Run. Yeah,
and
it's hard. I mean, it's like complimenting. Someone, like meeting someone and complimenting them on like, oh, your divorce was really great. It's like, thank you. It's like such a fraught emotional experience.
I've gotten way better about just, just going, oh, thanks. Yeah. I'm glad you liked it. Not launching into a bitter backstory about, I don't think it's good.
Yeah.
It could have been much better.
I have the memories of filming that are so fun because it was in Atlanta during the election.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to the set for a week. I had a tiny part, but I had asked like, hey, can I come to the set and shadow? And shadowed you as a director. And
Troy,
yeah. And then the first scene of the first day, I offered my opinion on what T-shirt you should wear, and I was banned from the set.
this story's been told a million times, but it was such a surprising, disappointing flip of a personality that we had been working with really well.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Jekyll.
Remember that
sketch?
No, what was that?
That was for Mr. Show. That was Dino was trying to write it for a while. Then I did a pass.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Jekyll.
It was a horror movie where Dr. Jekyll drank a serum and then he fell down behind the desk and then his diploma disappeared off the wall.
Oh, that's funny. Why didn't we do it?
I don't know. We could never quite figure out how it ended. I think I wrote a musical version of it where he had the serum that was going to do it. And I remember one lyric I wrote was, I would rather drink this bottle in front of me than perform a frontal lobotomy. and it just never, I don't think we could ever figure
There's
out how
so many, ended. So many
yeah.
sketches and ideas.
Officer Lady Guts.
Officer Lady Guts. The simply trying to shoehorn a sketch idea into a prop.
Yeah. Or a prop into a sketch idea.
What was I going to say though?
About Atlanta.
No, I was filming. Gonna, oh, go ahead. Go. Is that? Oh, that
no,
was
no,
your,
no. Yeah. You were saying that there was. Yeah, it was a flip of a.
Oh, it
of
was
a personality.
Just awful.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't anticipate. How could we really? And it was, and then being lied to, and then.
There was a very interesting. I'll be non-specific about it, but there was an interesting example of like. all of us being sent contracts to sign at the same time and being told every one of us had already signed it. And then we all called each other and we're like, are you signing this?
Oh, I don't remember that. I remember the relinquishing Bob and I sitting in at the desk with, with Troy behind the desk and he was explaining we kind of relinquished some
rights.
Authority and rights in
there was a music thing too, like the rights to the music.
Well, that's
to
what
the songs
Neil, the late great Neil Mahoney,
right,
was. We never would have known because we were believing all this stuff that was being told to us. And we never would have known. We suspected it. I remember, and I remember exactly where I was when Neil called me. I was at the on Vermont, crossing the street over by that Starbucks, and he called me, and he's like, I've got the emails of him.
He called them Eames at the time because no one knew really what to call them. So so we were like shortening it at the time of like, people will probably shorten this to Eames.
We'll see if it takes off. Yeah,
it never took off.
It never took off. But I've been memeing to say something for, what? Hey, there's a use. Anyway.
No, I remember, it was, you suspected it, but you're sort of like the Hercule Poirot of the Mr. Show crowd, where you always had a nose for that kind of thing.
A pipe.
Yeah. And if anyone was ever murdered on the set, you were always the one who were like, you stepped up and you're like, I'll solve this.
Yeah. Lock the doors. And I suspected it because it just didn't seem right. And I was in contact with some of the, Sean Marshall and the Ween guys. And there were a couple, I want to say, Pavement we had for a song. And
I don't know.
I remember Sean, Cat Power, was going to sing What's Your Name, Little Girl?
Oh, cool.
Which I thought she would have crushed.
But she never ended up doing it? We got some bands to do some of the songs.
We got Nashville Pussy to do Flirting with Disaster, which was great.
Yeah, and we got the Vandals to do Dirty White Boy.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we had the stuff lined up. I can't remember what Ween was going to do Champagne Jam.
But Ween, I don't know if you remember this, but I wrote a song for the end credits about where it was like, it was kind of like a poppy Huey Lewis tune about the movie you just saw and what you felt
that.
About how much you enjoyed it,
Which fit in with our an original idea of like breaking it up.
Right.
And
so I wrote this song and I went and recorded it, singing it. And I'm like, not to brag, but like I went to theater school and I'm an okay singer.
Well, that's not a brag to anybody.
Oh, that's right.
There's not a
not
single
the people
human
in theater
being
school.
On the planet who considers that bragging.
But I remember, like...
I'm sorry. I've held my silence for too long. And I must address
theater school.
I must address the committee.
But I can sing. So I recorded it in a studio, did a professional job, gave it to the director. And the director, under our instructions, like, put this over the end credits. Mm-hmm. He had a problem with me. And so he was like, Scott can't sing. This sucks.
Oh, you're talking about Troy?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he had a problem with everybody.
Right. But he was like, Scott, he said this specifically, Scott can't sing. This is terrible. And so you guys were like, well, let's get someone else to sing it, I guess. So you got the dude from Ween to sing it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I then would play it for anyone and people would go, is this you? Like, it sounded exactly like my voice. And then he turned it way down in the mix. You can't even hear it in the movie.
Fucking ego on that guy. It was nuts. And I remember it was fairly early on in the shooting how angry I got. And this kind of feeling and philosophy has I still carry with me when I'm working on projects. And I will tell, if I'm not directing it, I'll tell, but I'm writing and acting or producing whatever, I'll tell the director, I would rather sacrifice
looking good for
the cool shot.
Yeah.
The interesting cool shot
like
that
more
takes
time,
4 hours.
More time for the actors to like improvise and
literally.
It was tough because you and Bob were like two of the human beings in the world. no, you're two of the like funniest actors and good improvisers, And then you were only allowed to do like two takes every scene.
Do you the specific scene I'm talking about? I don't think you were there yet on set, but it was again, relatively early, was the spinning tire. Like, I take the school bus and whatever, woohoo.
So there's this close on a spinning tire. The camera then moves 180 degrees.
A massive, massive jib. It pulls up. You see that, you see the bus, and then it comes, pulls back about whatever that would be, 45, 80 to 90 degrees, to show you that the bus is on its side and it's in this massive field.
And then it turns over again, I think.
It's just, I mean, that
it took so long to set up.
That was half a day of shooting, and we lost all that other stuff. Who gives a fuck? Nobody cares about that shot. Nobody.
Yeah.
No fucking person.
I mean, that said, the movie I directed, I went the opposite way, and I was like, I don't care how this looks. I just want everyone to improv. And we made our schedule every single day, and everyone was like improvised out by the end of it. We did so much improv in it. And there's a car crash in that I look at and go like, fuck, I wish I would have spent like a little more time. It's not exciting.
Okay, but does it need to be exciting for the forward the story, for the purpose of the story? Or do you take a shortcut?
It just kind of laid flat. Like, you see the car crash and it just kind of laid flat a little bit. And I was like, you know, if I had just filmed an exciting car crash, maybe the audience would have enjoyed this beat a little bit more. But at the end of the day, it didn't matter probably at all. But I don't know. It's like that experience was so instructive to me in this kind of stuff that I've done, where it's like, no, I want to shoot a lot in everything that I do, because and hopefully we can make it look good too. But, you know, we're doing comedy, and comedy's supposed to be like silly and dumb.
Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody, I think it was actually on this podcast, I don't remember who. But talking about how a big budget kills comedy quite often. You don't need it. A good comedy does not need a $30 million budget.
Yeah, I don't know. It just depends on like what the director wants to spend time on. Like,
clearly, a
$30 million budget would be okay if you have a director who's like, yeah, but I want to use this to make sure that everyone can fuck around and still make it good or whatever.
Well, you should be able to do that with $7 million. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I mean, obviously, the weightlessness sequence would take some money.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about comedies in space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a whole subgenre. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've been on the dark web recently.
I mean, not recently. I think I was there maybe 45 minutes ago, but not recently.
Oh, it's great, Scott. So much has changed.
Really?
So much has changed since 45 minutes. Well, now 46 minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's been going down there?
It's a whole other world, whole new world.
Is Bufu Master still on there?
Twice.
Twice?
Yeah.
In the past 45 minutes?
Yeah.
I love his post.
Yeah. He's a good man? Woman?
I don't know. He makes fun of people putting pronouns in bio, so.
Oh, is that a real person or a real thing? Bufu Master? Or did you make it up? Oh, okay. Makes sense.
No, it's comedy is meant to be just people being silly, which is why Mr. Show, the show, was so good, because you guys were just like having fun on set and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense to them when you sort of highlight what why it was successful, but it was a bunch of friends or people became friends. There's no ego on the show, which is, I think, was part of its success.
I mean, other than you and Bob, but
we were nightmares, terrors, and he can't sing. He can't sing. All right.
No, I mean, it's that's what's interesting about, like, I think sketch shows are really good when they're a group of like tight-knit friends who have worked together for a while.
Oh,
the
best. I mean, when you go back to Python were two groups that came together, but, you know, quickly figured their thing out.
And even SNL was the first.
Well, the first, SNL, those guys came from Toronto,
Second
right?
City in both Chicago and Toronto.
And Toronto, and knew each other.
Yeah.
And also National Lampoon's Radio Hour.
Yeah.
And Yeah, and then Mr. Show, and yeah, again, Kids
so
in the Hall.
It's always weird to me, and this was my point of view.
The Edge,
while,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, you two had The Edge. Bono. They all knew each other.
Yeah.
But no, I sitcoms, though, when they make them, they go the opposite way, and they, like, cast them from a bunch of random people who don't know each other, and they all have to go through, like, pilot auditions and then testing at the network. And then they wonder why so many of them are not funny and the cast isn't gelling, you know? And Friends was really an anomaly where, like, those six people just happened to do really well. And everyone kind of goes, like, well, they didn't know each other, and so let's replicate this. But I used to be, like, obsessed with the idea of making a sitcom with just friends who had worked together for, you know, 5 years or 10 years or whatever, you know? Because I think you'd get chemistry that you wouldn't get.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it's less about with sitcoms, you there's no subtlety to it. There never has to be subtlety, and there's nothing.
Perhaps you haven't seen my friend Young Sheldon.
Oh, the nerd.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The older you get, the more you find yourself wanting to be more intentional about the way you live, eat, and take care of your body. The old adage, you are what you eat, rings true, and you're probably looking for an on-the-go protein snack that satisfies you. Now there are Mosh Bars. Mosh is a company founded by Maria Shriver and her son, Patrick Schwarzenegger, with a simple mission to create a conversation about brain health through food, education, and research. Maria's father suffered from Alzheimer's, and since then, she and Patrick have dedicated themselves to finding ways to help other families dealing with this debilitating disease. Mosh joined forces with the world's top scientists and functional nutritionists to go beyond your average protein bar with six delicious flavors. Each Mosh bar has 12 grams of protein and is made with ingredients that support brain health like ashwagandha, lion's mane, collagen, and there's an exclamation mark, omega-3s! They also have a line of plant-based protein bars in three delicious flavors. But here's the best part to make you, quote, feel good, unquote. Mosh donates a portion of all proceeds from your order to fund gender-based brain health research through the Women's Alzheimer's Movement. Why gender-based? Well, two-thirds of all Alzheimer's patients are women. Mosh is working closely to close the gap between men and women's health research. If you want to find ways to, quote, give back, unquote, to others and fuel your body and your brain, Mosh Bars are the perfect choice for you. Head to moshlife.com/senses to save 20% off plus free shipping on your first six-count trial pack. That's 20% off plus free shipping on your first six-count trial pack at moshlife.com/senses.
Are you, I saw you and you hurt my feelings. You were really good in that. Are you?
That was fun. Yeah.
Was it fun?
Oh, so much
fun. It looked fun.
She's awesome, Nicole. I don't know if you've ever met her.
I haven't. Bob was telling me that she did some episodes of his show, which I really liked his show, which was,
Nobody the Movie, the show?
No. Yeah.
The animated show about Nobody the Movie.
Yeah. About the making of Nobody the Movie.
Lil Nobody.
Yeah. Lil Nobodies. Like Muppet Babies for the movie Nobody. No, but yeah, I hear she's great. And you were really funny. And then Zach Cherry, I know, was really funny in it, I thought, where he would...
I mean, she's you know, to our point about take your time and let the cast, you know, feel it out. And, you know, that's what she did. And yeah. And it was I'll tell you, I asked her this too at when we went to the screening. There I improvised this line about where Amber says something to me. For those of you who don't know,
Amber.
What?
That's my impression of Boston Rob on Survivor saying the word Amber.
What is it?
Amber.
I don't know what any of those things are.
That's for a certain section of your audience that will find that very funny.
All right. Well, these guys know. These guys. Anyway, Boston Rob.
Yep.
Because he's from Boston.
That was. I mean, that's probably 90% of why they call him that.
What's the other 10%?
He would go to Boston Market every day.
Because he's from Boston?
They would sail him. This is true. During Survivor,
yeah,
everyone's hungry. They're foraging for like coconuts and rice.
And roast chicken.
And roast chicken. And they would sail him to Boston Market every day. And then he would come back and he would be like, I found this chicken in the woods. Yeah.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
I really do. I say this every day. I need to watch more TV. I need to watch more reality TV.
And we'll get back to your hilarious Nicole story in a second. But what is with your daughter? And how old is your daughter now?
She'll be 7 next week.
How what's the screen time? Like, what are your...
Usually you get a reaction when you say that about your kid. You get a... Especially somebody who also has a kid. Oh, wow, that's great.
Oh, cool. Wow, 6, 7.
7.
7, right,
right
after
6.
Right after 6?
7 comes after 6.
Yeah. Right, before 8.
Yeah, but do you know why? This is for real.
Why?
This is a true thing. You guys can look it up. Do you know why 6 was scared of 7?
I don't know.
Because 7, 8, 9.
Oh, no. Really?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have 9 anymore?
Yeah. It's like Japanese hotel elevators.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Yep, but 10 now becomes 9.
So 10 means 9, and 11 means 10, and so on and so on.
Up until you get to 24, then it goes back again.
I literally had a dream last night. This is reminding me.
I literally had a dream last night. This has just come back to me.
So you know how we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
I do know that.
And then once you get up to the 20s, it's like 21, 20, you know, it's 20 plus.
Oh, shit. I never realized.
But
oh, wait. That's not what you were.
That's not what I'm doing. So, but what we have in between 10 and 19 are 11, 12, like these weird words, 11, 12. And then you have 13 for 3-teen, 4-teen, you know, like, so I had this dream that I was like, cut the shit. We're regulating this. We're going to call it. 21, 22.
What a weird dream.
23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29.
Wow. That's, that didn't help. Did that help the world or at least?
I feel like it is confusing. English is a very confusing language, they say. Like, it's one of the hardest languages to learn.
Well, the rules are all over the place with, you know, especially with, O-U-G-H can pronounce this way or that way. Yeah. And
I before
and tenses
E,
and yeah, all that
don't
stuff.
Don't even talk to me about before C.
No, I won't. I won't. I'm trying not to bring that up, but
thank you.
Can we cut that out, guys?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, yeah. Right. That's the one thing I need cut out.
Yeah, that's...
So tell me your story about what Amber said in the movie. You riffed a line in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, so Amber said something about, you know, your mom, da 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 da. And then I turned and I just said, she died 3 days ago or something like that. She's only been dead for a week, whatever.
Right.
And everybody laughed. And so if you watch the movie, they cut out because people laugh.
People are laughing.
So
that's
something
funny.
Else. Not that great of a story, but.
I love that story. Honestly, I think it's one of the great showbiz stories. I think you should save it for Carson, though. Don't waste it on this.
But... Right, when I get to heaven.
Yep.
Heaven's man. I'll tell you what. Heaven's band.
Oh,
you got
Doc
Jimmy
Severinsen on trumpet. Jimmy on guitar. Keith Moon on drums. Adolf Hitler on the bass.
Yep. And then
and Pol Pot on like
Pol Pot on the vibraphone. Yeah. Heaven's Band, man.
Yeah, love it.
And Heaven's Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. You got Red Buttons.
Sure.
No, he's still alive, I think.
Is Red Buttons still alive?
I mean, for the moment. Can't be. For the moment.
He can't be.
Is he? Casey, look up Buttons Red
Buttons
live
just,
question mark.
Just live just live where? Buttons. Live Buttons.
He's been dead for years.
He's dead.
He's been dead for years.
Years. Not just days.
No.
Like your mom.
No.
I did want to ask you about that movie because you and Amba are doing like
I mean, sure. Why not?
You're doing like
that's not even a good Boston accent. No, it would be like Amba. That's a Boston accent, Amber.
This is true to him, though. He goes, Amber.
Well, that just sounds kind of dumb Neanderthal.
Yeah, you're getting
it. But there's nothing Boston about it.
Yeah, you're getting it now. But you guys were in therapy, doing like couples therapy in it.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it was based on real like conversations that you've had? Or
All of it.
Was
all
it really?
Yeah.
So you guys just laid it all out there.
We put it all out there.
Wow.
Yeah. And most of it is... you know, didn't make it because it's inappropriate, mm-hmm. and we didn't want to, you know. But yeah, we got into it, and we did.
And you mentioned the people you're cheating with by name. That was the other issue.
Well,
couldn't get clearance for
cryptically. You know, right. I didn't say the full real name. I say Candy. You know,
right.
And you figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Candida.
Oh shit!
I just
you're
figured
good.
It out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that lead to any sort of issues of like where some you actually brought up something that was like a sore spot or anything like that? Or was it?
Well, I kept calling her by her real name. So that was.
Wait, what's her real name?
Amber.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah. I called the character by her real name. And then when I was yelling. Oh,
I see. You were both playing some other characters, right?
Yeah. We pitched it as like, hey, what if we are in this movie and we're actually playing ourselves? And then we can have this kind of meta thing.
Right.
And, you know, it takes place in New York. So why not?
Mm-hmm.
We've been to couples therapy. So, you know, let's do it. And it just got too real, as they say.
Mm.
I don't say it. The other people say it.
Yeah, I've heard that before. That wasn't you, though.
The phrase?
Yeah. Because you've never said that.
I've never said it, but I've heard it.
Right. In fact, you didn't just say it right now. We had to splice together you saying those two words from
yeah,
different
like
parts
an AI
of the
thing.
Podcast.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever seen those like keyboards.
No, not familiar.
It's like a computer. How do I explain a computer? Electronic. Oh, gosh.
So, electricity?
Yeah. So power.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. How do I explain
ergs?
This is like a conversation with... last week, I was walking Marlo to school, and the second Trump trial had taken place, and, you know, the claim or the verdict had come in that he owed E. Jean Carroll all this money, and for her and so many kids in her school, Trump is the shortcut to bad and,
right.
and mean and
like boogeyman in a way.
Well, he doesn't kill you, but he's just a bad
really? 'Cause he did literally did quite a few people.
Yes, but I mean that's not how they just as
yeah.
far as like a lying, unethical,
right.
You know how not to act and right. how what not to say. And for a lot of kids, it's just a kind of a shortcut thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know where, you know, clearly there's some stuff at home, but, you know, school and, you know, families, whatever. And she asked me some question because she's always talking about Trump. And and she wants to donate her allowance to him. And
oh, she's pro. I didn't realize this.
Well, she's a shitty person.
That makes
and,
sense.
And,
yeah.
And so, I'm walking along, and this will happen occasionally. I'll just be having conversation because I don't use baby talk, and I don't talk down to her, and I've always done this. And I'll just have I try to be self aware and conscious.
You censor
of the
yourself
word.
A little bit.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's what. Right. Yes, I am, but I don't sugarcoat too much stuff,
right.
And I mistakenly in the whole conversation. You know, why did that happen? What did it? And then it was a series, like what I was just kind of doing, a series of
going, taking a step backwards.
And then her not knowing it. And then what? Well, he assaulted her. What is assault?
Yeah.
It just went all the way down.
It's
to,
interesting
he was
because,
mean.
Yeah. I mean, though, aren't you supposed to, like, lay those concepts out there for them pretty clearly? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I mean, I try to without being graphic or specific.
Yeah. To give someone nightmares, in other words.
Yeah, I don't, you know. Yeah. But no, I don't really sugarcoat too much stuff.
Yeah. No, my wife and I are just kind of, like, fumbling around in the dark trying to figure out, like, our views on stuff and how, you know, how to do so. That was why I was asking about screen time, because, like, I think both of us were sort of like, oh, screen time is bad. And then just on the, like, we had COVID and our nanny had given us COVID. And so she was out and we had to take care of our kid for 10 days just ourselves while having COVID. Mm. We were like, turn on the TV. You know, it's just like, there's a way you have to do it to sort of, like, you know, have something to do during the day.
I'm not that weak or irresponsible, but I
mentally
mean,
or physically.
No. You know, when we
is
had
this
to
yours
go to,
or is this mine?
That's mine, but do you want one? Can we get,
I mean, standard podcast shit. Like, you're sitting here just
it
like...
It really is true. You're right.
Flouting that you have a glass of water and I don't. I don't know what this is all about. Is this like a power move?
There you go. Give it a little bit right there. Not too much. Okay. Oh, that's enough. You. Oh, you spilled.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Do you want a glass of water?
I mean, I wouldn't mind one. Yeah. I've been holding in a cough for that I feel will be...
You're waiting? That's an impressive talent.
It's impolite to cough
talent.
On a podcast, yes.
But we were...
there we go.
We were... I'll tell you what. Let's get a fresh glass of water. Mm. Scott can finish this, and I'll take the fresh glass of water.
I don't want your glass of water.
But we had a quarantine in Toronto when Amber was up there working, and we, when COVID, it had started dissipating in New York because everybody did what they were supposed to fucking do.
Yeah, take hydroxychloroquine.
And yep, and eat the sun, eat bits of the sun, and and then when we got to Toronto, they really overreacted and it was really harsh, and so.
Wasn't it worse up there, though, after the United States? Like,
say what?
Wasn't it worse up in Canada?
Not the numbers. Oh. No, but they locked everything. Mm. I mean, it was way over the top. I blame Doug Ford for all of it. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Here's to you, buddy.
Hey, cheers.
There we go. My daughter does love to cheers now.
Yep.
To an annoying degree where it's like...
Yeah, I remember that phase.
Yeah. Yeah, we do this once.
Yeah.
If that.
And the whole reason we do it is to ensure that there's no poison in our showers. Uh-huh.
We always like, anytime I cheers with my daughter, I switch my glass with her sippy cup.
Yeah.
And just to really make sure.
Yeah, there's no poison.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's why we cheers. Did you know that's for
is
real?
Is it really?
Yeah. It's an old tradition to spill a little of each
of yours into... Oh,
yeah,
really? Oh, interesting.
To make sure that you're not poisoning your, you know,
so that every frenemy. So if someone what did poison you, then you get it into their cup and they're embarrassed. And they raise their hand and they go, I got to tell you something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I poisoned you.
Yeah. Or they do that thing that in Breaking Bad. Not to give too anything away.
Oh, no. I've only seen the first 5 minutes of the first episode.
Oh, shit.
I love this guy. He's such a good teacher. This is all about a really nice teacher, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to say?
Screen time?
Yes. So.
This is my role in the podcast, I've found out, is like getting you back
remind
on track.
Remind me, yeah. I am not one of those, and we know several parents who are absolutely no screen time. Mm-hmm. We know kids who haven't seen anything like that, like cartoons or whatever. There was one family, friends of ours have two kids. One of them is close to Marlo's age, and they've kind of grown up together, you know, and... I had gotten Marlo into puzzles, like big, you know, whatever, 18-piece big, you know, jumbo
18.
Polo.
Wow.
But, you know, enough that you're making the picture and all that stuff. And it was, and so she had outgrown it. And I went to
give me a 19-piece puzzle.
give it to the our friends for their son, and they wouldn't accept it. I mean, politely, but they wouldn't accept it because it was Disney characters.
Interesting.
It was actually Pixar characters.
Which Pixar characters? If you don't mind
Toy Story.
So we're talking Woody, we're talking Buzz Lightyear, Mr. Potato Head, Little Bo Peep.
Yep. Yeah. Not Little Bo Peep, but Jessie.
Jessie.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's ridiculous.
Because they didn't want their child to be lured into a world where they're playing.
Man, whatever the fuck. That's ridiculous to me. And you know, there are, we have strict... I shouldn't say strict, but we have
time limits. Like,
time stuff, and just 2 weeks ago, maybe not even whatever. Last week, she brought her midterm report card, and it's all. She's a good student, and it's all gotten better and better and better, increasingly better, and she's like, you know, can I play with my iPad, which has learning games. She has Reading Eggs and ABC Mouse and all that. And I'm like, you keep bringing back report cards like this? I'm serious. And yes, you can play with your iPad for 25 minutes and you can play, you know, and...
So now she has to bring back one every day?
Every single day. So we have a little thing worked out with the teacher. I give her a U.S. savings bond to bring to her teacher.
Right.
And...
Those are, I mean, if you hold on to those.
Well, that's
like a $100 one will be.
I have Marlo, when she's not looking, take it back. So it's always the same bond.
Okay. So she knows sleight of hand at this point.
Yeah. And I'm getting her into counting cards too, which is smart, I think.
Counting crows, you mean?
I love, what did I say?
Counting cards.
Yeah. Oh no, that's the cover band of Counting Crows, who also do close-up magic.
Yeah, and they're all dressed like the face cards, like the Jacks, you know, and the Suicide King.
But with dreads.
Yeah.
And,
paste on dreads like those.
Did I ever tell you, this is not a much of a story as much as an anecdote, but, I know friends who've are in bands that have, or friends who are in a band that opened up for the Counting Crows quite often, and just say he's the nicest guy. Adam Duritz is the nicest, sweetest, most generous guy. And here in LA, this is obviously a while ago, they invited me, we're going to a party at Adam Duritz, and he's got this big, you know, like those huge houses in Mount Olympus where they film rap videos, and they're all kind of like prefab. They're garbage houses, but they're big and garish and everything, and big staircases, grand circular, you know, whatever. And so I go with my friends to the house, and it's huge. And when you come into the foyer, there's a large photo. I can't remember if it's black or white or not, but it's a large photo of him.
It's just black. No white.
Of him. It's shot at a slight angle, like a little
Dutch
angle.
A la Kenneth Branagh's Thor movie.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Or let's go back a couple days earlier in the Batman TV show.
Sure.
Yeah. Which incorporated Dutch angles, you know, which is what we get that from Rembrandt. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it's a square, you know, a large frame, but it's, you know, that it's,
I've seen paintings.
Okay. This is a photograph. Mm. And he's standing directly in front of the, on like a path in a garden where the Eiffel Tower is behind him. And he's got his sleeves down like this. So his hands are kind of sticking out, like this. And he's going, try to describe this for people at home, like almost like a sad puppy dog. Look, and he's going like this, and
you turned around and walked out.
It made me uncomfortable because I just think having that photo greet everybody,
yeah,
it's a tough one.
Like, that's a photo that I think, like, an 8x10 is even too big, you know?
I think it shouldn't exist.
You think the entire photo, you think, are you talking the Eiffel Tower?
No, I think photography itself.
Photography
should not
itself.
Exist. Yeah, because it's lies. It's all lies.
It steals your soul. I know that.
Forget steal your soul. That's a bunch of Native American bullshit because they were ignorant about that. Because they're, you know, I'm talking about.
Can you imagine if they were still in charge of this country? There'd be no photographs.
There'd be no photographs.
This is. I mean, the very reason
there'd be no Game Boy.
Oh my God.
F that.
You were very nice and gave me a GameCube once. Do you remember this?
I don't.
I think we were at South by Southwest viewing our delicious comedy, Run, Runny, Run. Mm. And we were all invited to a party. You were invited to a party, and you brought us along with you.
David Cross and Pals?
Where they gave you and Bob both GameCubes, I think, and you were very nice to give it to me.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I
the shit out of it. And now I have a baby. I get a video. My wife wants to know what I want for Christmas. I ask for a video game. Haven't even cracked it open.
What'd you get?
Mario something? I don't know. What's his name? Mario Lanza.
Mario Lanza
video
game.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're only Italian Marios, right? Mario Puzo, Mario Lanza, Mario Andretti.
Andretti, yeah.
look up Mario's
Polish Mario.
No. Mario, not Italian. Question mark last name and then in parentheses surname. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll figure this out. There's got to be. I mean, Mario.
So listen, you can do.
Yeah,
I'm going back.
Yeah,
because this is important. I think you can do your screen time, but you got to wait. Definitely wait.
For what?
I'm serious about this. Well, okay. For them to get older.
Well, we're doing like educational.
That look, there's a ton of great shit.
I feel like
how old is your kid?
She's 16 months.
Oh God, you've got. Just don't give her the iPad stuff.
Yeah,
she can.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's tons of educational stuff that's great. And as she gets older, Octonauts on Netflix is great.
Okay,
that's real. I mean, there's some really good stuff for kids out there teaching good lessons.
I feel like I learned how to read so early because of Sesame Street. So
yeah, I learned how to tell time because of Sesame Street.
Really?
Yeah.
What time is it right now?
Let's see.
Oh, great job, Sesame Street.
It is 10. It's 105.2.
Okay, great. 105.2.
Well, I mean, I'm going by this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 87%.
Great. Yeah, this is all you need to know.
Wait, let me look here.
105.2.
That's about as phony. Your timing is impeccable. that has come in handy. So that's my alert
trigger
tone.
It? Yeah. Oh, it's here.
Oh, I didn't trigger it. Yeah, for real. I didn't
for
trigger
real,
it.
Someone. Oh,
that's
wow.
My alert tone. And
incredible.
Sometime I've had like three or four occasions where the timing is just perfect. you know, an argument with my wife, or what was the one with
like doing a pitch to a studio that fails really obviously, and you're like, oh, this sucks, and then the person goes, look, I think that says it all. There's the door.
Hey, you got a smartphone, huh? Yeah, you get pulled
really
over
smart.
By the cops. All right, have you been drinking tonight?
No.
No, sir. I had two beers earlier, like at least 3 hours ago. Okay, well, maybe 3 beers 2 hours ago. Okay, I had 6 beers a minute ago.
Yeah, I showed Sesame Street to her for the first time because Kulap was away for the weekend, and I like tried to tire her out by going to my gym and all this kind of stuff, and then at a certain point it was just like, okay, we need to do something.
Wait, you took her to the gym? To your gym?
Yeah, my gym. Yeah.
Oh my gosh!
Tried to get
like
some
the
reps
vertical.
In. Yeah.
What did she do? Cardio or leg? It was leg day.
She was on the Peloton for maybe like 45 minutes at you know, between 30 and 40.
How does she relate? Does she understand the instructors? Let's get hot in here. Let's go.
She loves the music. You know, when it's like
Japanese techno.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I turned on Sesame Street. It was the first time she'd ever seen Sesame Street, and we watched it for you know, like their half hour episodes. We probably watched four. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, she didn't see it again. The next week, we went to another birthday party where the parents had hired someone to be Elmo.
Mm.
And she treated him like it was the Beatles.
Yeah.
She was like, we have pictures of her like going,
Yeah.
She started hugging him so hard that I had to break her away. I was like, let other kids talk to Elmo. Yeah. You know, it was just like four episodes did it.
Yeah. That, my daughter's like that with Taylor Swift.
Really?
Yeah. Just like thinks she's great.
Yeah.
Loves her. You know,
let's
make time for other kids.
Have you had to take her to a concert or anything like that?
No. Nope.
Are concerts too, I mean, it's too.
Too early to
It's too
take
early,
her.
Right?
I mean, no, she's been asleep. To Disney on Ice and
right.
those kind of things. And we also live right down the street from the Barclays Center.
Oh, what's your address?
1342 DeLongpre Avenue, apartment number 6B.
That's where you used to live, right?
Close, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did live on DeLongpre here in L.A.
So
that's
you
where
live...
the character DeLongpre Dannon came from. I was like, that's a good character name.
I don't remember. Who was that?
It was a Link. It was the, what was it? DeLongpre Dannon show. Was that the one with the psychic, the...
this guy?
It might have been. It was...
yes.
It was a Link. And DeLongpre Dannon was Jill Talley's character.
Yes,
some
yes,
like
yes,
talk
yes.
show.
Right. And that was you with a fake arm, too, so you could do this with
yes.
your hand?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. I've been hearing a lot from people who have said, like, to me recently, like, oh, I had never seen Mr. Show, but it's on Max or whatever now.
Is it?
So, I think so, isn't it?
I have no idea.
I think it is.
We still haven't gotten a fucking penny from that. Can you?
Didn't you work out a terrible deal? Weren't you telling me this?
No, not on.
I thought Bernie worked out a horrible deal that was like incentivized people not to ever air it again. Honestly.
No, what are you talking about?
Where it was like.
Bob, you must have. This must be a conversation.
Maybe it's through Bob. But it was like if it's repeated, you have to pay us like 1.5 times what we were paid the first
time. I will tell you, I haven't checked in. I want to say 6 or 7 years, but every once in a while, as you know, every, let's say 5-6 years as the
technology.
Yeah. And there's streaming and there's different, and now there's a SAG, WGA contracts that are, mm-hmm. that are, you know, retroactive and things. But, we would go back because we would see that it was sold to TBS for a while. It was on TBS. Yeah. And it was sold to somebody else. And we'd go back and Bob and I would both go to our, you know, accountant, business manager and managers and going, guys, what the fuck? How are we not getting any residuals for this? We barely got paid in the first place. What's going on? And they would all say, you know, it's what they call creative accounting. And you can try to, I can't remember you wouldn't bring a suit, but you would do a forensic accounting.
And you're not talking about residuals. You're talking about points, I think.
Whatever it is. I truly don't know. But
because I went through this on my show where I had them give me the accounting for it.
Yeah.
Where by the end of the conversation, I was like, okay, let's get a lawsuit going.
Yeah.
Because the accounting on these things, because you have points on the back end, right?
I don't know if we got points. I don't
I'm
know
sure
if it was back in the... I guess there were more points than residuals.
Yeah, because residuals is all regulated.
And it's so on cable. You don't have residuals for cable,
yes,
right?
And so whatever your contract is, if it's sold, you'll get the residuals.
Oh, man.
They're regulated by SAG. But the points are the things where, like, if you have 5 points on the back end of the show... Mm-hmm. Then they explain the back end to you and go like, oh, yeah, it still is $2 million in the hole.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like they would say, you can do it and there's no guarantee you'll win. Not that it's a win-loss.
I know
but
for a fact that they made a profit on my show.
Yeah.
Because.
But they're like, it'll cost you $180,000 and you may get 100,000 at the end of the day. And
sounds
there's
good
just
to me.
No, there's just no way around it. It's just, yeah. And it's so frustrating. And as I said,
So then I'm sort of like, why do you waste so much time before when you're making the deal with your lawyer, like hammering out the points and all this
stuff?
Who's
also getting paid.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I'm just like, we're never going to see these points anyway. Although right. I guess you do with like wild success stories and stuff like that. But,
right.
But yeah, anyway, we don't have enough money. That's what we're trying to say on this show.
This
is a telethon, isn't it?
Yeah. We're raising money for GoFundMe.
Just for GoFundMe.
Yeah. For the website. Yeah.
They've been going through some hard times.
I know.
It's terrible. Yeah. GoFundMe, the website, has cancer. Irony of ironies.
Because they're always raising money for cancer.
They got it just from being around
it. Well, that's what you get for raising money for cancer. More money for cancer, more cancer.
Yeah.
It kind of goes without saying.
It's crazy.
It's
But this is all Silicon Valley shit that is above my pay grade.
The fucking government.
Yeah.
Peter Thiel.
It's a psyop.
Yeah, I think
all
so.
All of it, yeah.
All right, Scott, we're going to, breaking news. Oh, this was, the alert that came in.
Oh, what's up?
7 minutes ago. Hey, just for those at home, 7 minutes ago is when that funny noise came on my phone. Hmm. King Charles III has been diagnosed with cancer and will postpone public duties, the palace said. Oh, that's got to affect, literally... Fours of people.
It literally does affect me.
How does it?
When's this come out?
Oh, this? Yeah, this episode. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? We don't know.
Yeah, so probably after. So my 850th episode of my show, we literally talk about him. It ties into the...
Of him being king, the queen.
It ties into the storyline of that episode. So,
okay.
So now I'm... Like trying to, because it comes out in a week from today, I'm trying to edit it in my mind going like, okay, let's see, how do we make this, anyway.
Topical?
We just taped it a few days ago, but he was just in the hospital. So now
I didn't even know he was in the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a monarchist, so I should be.
Oh, yeah, you should be up, yeah.
Yeah.
You want a monarchy here in the States.
I would love one, just in California.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we were doing Mr. Show, and this is when you were.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, it was fun. But I remember you were, I mean, you've always been like really pro-police. and I remember a lot of it was because you thought you'd had your pocket picked.
Yeah.
And you were like.
Sure of it.
You were so sure of it.
Yeah.
And you were like calling up the police going like, I pay your salary.
Yeah.
And.
Fuck it. It was a whole pack of gum. I hadn't even opened it yet.
Yeah.
And it was T-berry.
And then you found it,
yeah, yeah.
You know, after you'd railed at the police and you had, you know, you called up your local city council person going like, why can't we have more police out there on the streets?
Yeah.
You know.
And they did. And they started the paperwork to get that rolling.
Yeah.
And then I had to call back, go, hang on, divert some of that funds to education.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, those were fun times. Have you changed your opinion on that at all or?
No, I'm still wildly pro-police.
Good.
Because
you say, ACAB, all cops aren't bastards.
Yeah, it's confusing. I should have picked a
different acronym.
I should. It should be like all cops shan't be bastards or something like that.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
I actually do a bit currently that I'm working on about.
Really?
Yeah, about the police in New York City specifically.
Strokes sang that song about him.
Yeah, they took it off the album. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
So they were about to release.
I have the
is this it?
I have the UK version that has it on. I bought it before it came out in the States, and it has that song on it.
Yeah, because they took it off. The label
because
made them take it off because
9-1-1.
Yeah, 9-1-1. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're winding it up, and I close every episode. I ask my guest a question from Marlo. There's a question from Marlo to you.
So you've gotten her involved in the family business. That's great.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
You know,
Nepo
I don't make
baby,
any money from this thing.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't make money on this?
On these, not yet.
I'd love to represent you.
Okay. Well, I don't have a fucking empire like Earwolf.
Empire.
Scott, you are one of the leading shining lights in the podcast.
Thank you. You lost world. Interest 3 words into that sentence.
No, but you've done a very you're successful at and
I did my it. I did my time in the trenches.
Yeah, yeah, and you deserve
and now I'm
everything.
Reaping
you've got.
The rewards.
Yeah. Except for I don't think the that like pool. I don't think you deserve your pool. But yeah. You have a lovely house.
You in fact. Someone, I thought it was a prank, but now I'm realizing it was you, just filled it in with cement the other day. Just like back to truck.
Well,
up.
There's a tiny little hole. You got to look for it where I've been shitting. Okay. Scott Aukerman, here's a question.
Yes.
From Marlo. Would you rather fly or never get hurt again?
Okay. Can I ask questions to sort of narrow this down?
I mean, she's not here to answer them, so I would just use that. You can qualify your answer.
So,
but.
So the never get hurt again, would I then never die?
I mean, again, I can't answer these questions. Hmm. You can contextualize your answer by saying if
right.
it's your answer, you're talking to a 6-year-old about to be 7, you know, and she'll be 7 by the time this comes out.
Will you deliver my answer on her birthday?
Well, she'll eventually listen to the podcast.
Will she really?
Yeah, when she's on the Peloton.
Mm, good. Yeah. I think flying would be a little anticlimactic after a little while. It would be like, you know, those presents you get when you're a kid where you really, really wanted. I remember I really wanted like a Spider-Man action figure that could like rappel down a thing. And I like... really wanted it, asked my parents about it, and then I was bored with it.
Yeah.
You know, after an hour. And then you feel shitty about it the rest of the day and the rest of the year where you're like, I wanted this so bad. And now how do I tell my parents that it sucks?
Lesson learned, hopefully.
I did learn my lesson. So I feel like it would be like that with flying where it would be like kind of fun for it would be like having a Segway, owning a Segway, and you'd be like, oh, this is fucking cool. And then you'd be like,
I would think it'd be a little different than having a Segway.
I think it's sort of like having a pool. You mentioned my pool where you're like, oh, I really want to buy a house with a pool. And then when you really log your pool time at the end of the year, it's like, man, I was in there for maybe 3 hours, the total.
Well, that's on you.
Everything is on everyone.
What?
You're so judgmental about my pool time. That's on you. That's on you. Yeah, I know I need to get in my pool more, David.
Well, I guess what I'm...
I'm sorry.
Are you disappointed?
Is that what you want?
Are you disappointed in yourself?
Yes, always. Okay.
All right.
There's so many things I need to do. I need to get in my pool for 3 hours a day in order to really make it worth it.
Well, I mean, that's, again, it's what you'd have to put a price on your time in the pool. And then if you, averages out per year and then each year and then each decade.
I mean, realistically, like getting a house with a pool, it adds $100,000 to the price probably. Right?
But how much does it cost? A pool and maintenance and all that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's another thing. I don't look at bills or any or like numbers, you know, anymore, but... you mentioned my empire, but I mean, it is something that you go like, okay, well, if we get a house with a pool, it's going to be this much more expensive. So you really want to maximize that. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is I feel like flying would be sort of like having a pool where like Kulop would come over to me and be like, oh, did you fly today? It's like, oh no, I mean, I'm busy. Yeah. I'll fly tomorrow. Mm. You know, and then at the end of the summer, you're like, man, I never really maximized the summer weather to go out flying this year.
And you could have never been hurt again.
Yeah. And so that's the thing is I feel like if you're never hurt, I'm assuming physically and emotionally,
mm-hmm.
Then you can rule out dying accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel like you would probably be able to die in your sleep, like a peaceful death or something like that.
Yeah.
So you're basically guaranteeing that you're going to live a good long amount of time, never be, you know, run into on the bus, never, you know, have a car accident that crumples your legs or anything like that. Yeah, that's an easy choice to make.
How many times have you been run into on the bus?
On the bus, normally 3 times per ride. A car will crash into our bus.
Whoa.
Yeah.
and they still allow you to get on the bus.
Oh, they haven't put it two and two together it's me.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you think there's somebody right now at this moment with photos up on a wall going,
do not let
and
this...
And then the yarn.
Yeah, the yarn.
The yarn. Yeah,
yeah, the
mind map.
I think so. I mean, I like to think that.
Yeah.
But I feel like then I'm not that important in the grand scheme of things. You know,
well,
you
I
always
mean, if
think
you're
about,
causing all this misery mayhem. And injuries and deaths, maybe, yeah. And, you know.
Part of my problem is every morning I spray on car attractant. And so cars are just like naturally attracted and want to run into me all day.
Oh,
so.
Like the self-driving cars. Once they go on autopilot, boom.
Yeah,
they
then
smell
they just
that.
Veer right over right, to right. me. Yeah. That's
yeah,
a big
they
problem.
Haven't
accounted.
Of, they
no, it's
haven't
a big problem
of
why Tesla is like recalling all their cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't accounted for people using car
attractant. Yeah.
Attractant, yeah.
Yeah, usually people put on car repellent, and that's what I thought
well,
I was buying.
Why doesn't the bus put car repellent on
to just
the
to neutralize
the
it?
Yeah. Well, I think even more. I mean, if you're inside the bus,
yeah,
that's less power than the being on the outside of the bus for the
to
repellent.
Have a, to
and
have
then
a
the
repellent,
air
yeah.
taking it every which away.
No, I mean, that would be smart, but they have, I mean, they, here's my problem. I bought what I thought was car repellent. It turned out to be attractant. I bought it in bulk. I have too much of the stuff. I got to just put it on.
Right. Okay, what about selling it? To the Axe body spray people.
You sound like my wife right now.
Really?
Why don't you do this with Axe body spray? Why don't you do that with Axe body spray? Every morning, it's why with the Axe body spray conversation.
I don't. Well, Cool Up calls me about an hour before you get up, mm-hmm. and we go over the talking points for the morning.
Yeah, that's good.
And
she's very prepared. She has a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Are you the one putting those together?
I mean, it's a collaboration.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't want to take full credit. Hmm. All right. Well, I have to pee. So, Scott, thank you so much for...
So, you just... This podcast is you just talking until you have to pee?
Coming down today, and I know you...
What happens if, like, you have to pee
far.
3 minutes in?
I hold it.
So, but you will no longer hold it?
I'm not... Yeah. I mean, the time has come for me to...
To know, stop holding it?
And stop holding it.
Hold release. It a little bit longer. Let's continue chatting.
I'd rather not. This is not your podcast. This is my podcast. The name right here is, I'm not good at reading. What is this? I know that's my name because I recognize the symbols and the squiggly.
That's, no, you're reading.
Oh, that's what, is that reading?
That's what recognizing the symbols and the squigglies is you going like.
How about pronunciation? Am I pronouncing, pronouncing
it? Yeah, you're getting there.
Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah, it's something like that.
My pronunciation.
Say those two collections of squiggles. Say those together.
David Cross.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, that's my name.
That's
okay.
You're reading. Yeah. Good job.
When Marla was like three, she couldn't say the word oatmeal. She'd say oatmeoid. And then, and so she'd always say oatmeoid. And then my sister was up and she said, okay, say oat. Oat. Say meal. Meal. Say oatmeal. Oatmeoid.
Emmy says CC instead of cookie, which is a weird one. We're always saying cookie? Cookie? And she goes, CC.
Yeah. See, I mean, she's a year and a half. She's got.
She's not even. Yeah. So.
Oh, not even.
Yeah.
So she's got all the excuses in the world. Scott, thank you. Come from.
Thank
down.
You. Come from. Thank you, dum dum. To you as well.
And next time I come back to the greater Los Angeles area, I will stop and do your show.
Yeah, we love to have you on.
It. You got amazing. Oh man, that girl, the blonde girl, is just amazing. She did the kid who was lost.
Oh, Lisa Gilroy, yeah.
Lisa Gilroy,
yeah.
Man,
Dickie
what a
Donnelly.
Talent.
Yeah.
Oh God, she's so good. And then after we did that podcast, I was like looking at her like Instagram things, and really funny.
Very funny, yeah.
Very funny.
She
was in the juror.
Jury Duty,
she's great.
Yeah.
Jury
she had
duty,
a really,
yeah.
really funny part yeah. in Jury Duty. She's yeah. in every commercial as well.
Hmm. That I haven't seen.
Yeah, you don't watch the commercials.
I don't really watch like network TV very much.
Yeah.
I gotta, if ever, really.
Yeah, you're a real...
I'm a real streaming snob.
If it's streaming, you're beaming.
And if it's networking, I'm Blet working.
True, yeah. It's less successful.
But I've been doing that since before.
Yeah, of course.
That was my thing. I have it on a t-shirt.
Oh, you peed your pants.
Senses Working Overtime is a HeadGum podcast created and hosted by me, David Cross. The show is edited by Katie Skelton and engineered by Nicole Lyons with supervising producer Emma Foley. Thanks to Demi Druchin for our show art and Mark Rivers for our theme song. For more podcasts by HeadGum, visit HeadGum.com or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and maybe we'll read it on a future episode. I'm not going to do that. Thanks for listening.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey guys, just announced a big show in Central Park on the Summer Stage, part of the Summer Stage series, called David Cross and Super Pals. That's going to be August 8th. It's going to be amazing. Got all kinds of really cool special guests. I know we got Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Silverman, Sean Patton, Fred Armisen, many, many, many more. Go to officialdavidcross.com. That'll have all the information for that. And the pre-sale, it just went out, and the pre-sale code is FUNFUN. I believe it's all caps. FUNFUN. David Cross and Super Pals. August 8th, Central Park. Come down.